Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 6. We're sitting here in our living room today for the fellowship, and we've got a little fire going, so if you hear some crackling, it's not static. It's not our equipment going bad. It's just a nice warm fire, cozy fire that we're sitting around as we get ready to share the word. Today I want to teach on, the last couple of weeks we've centered our teaching on around prayer, like our teaching on a call to prayer, where I called you alongside to encourage you and beseech you to take up the necessity to pray for kings, for presidents, for all those kinds of people who have areas of authority, and to intercede for those people who have not had the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I sort of feel that we've got a mantle of prayer to take care of these things, and I've asked you and wanted you to consider taking this on. I think I said for about a month to really make this a part of your prayer life, and I continue to encourage you in that to take these things on. Then we investigated ask in prayer. What does it truly mean? What is the word ask, to discover what that really means with our emphasis on the word ask? Now I want to go into the prayer side of it. Looking into the word that's most commonly translated from the Greek as prayer, the word prosukomai. And there's a couple of different ways to spell it, and I don't want to get into detail on that, but it is translated 87 times for pray, prayer, that kind of thing. And in Matthew chapter 6, I want to begin this study looking at this great record. So let's go to Matthew 6, and we'll start off with what it is not. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest," and that's that word prosukomai, "when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites." As the hypocrites. The word hypocrites in the Greek is symbolized by the, you know, the tragedy and comedy, the two masks that you see. The real usage of it and the real meaning of it is like an actor on a stage. In other words, he's just saying lines and trying to communicate these lines, but that's not really his heart. That's not really what he thinks. That's not really his life that he's portraying. It's to portray something on a stage. Our prayers are not to be like a hypocrite, where we're just saying things, we're just rehearsing things, but it's not really ours. It's not really our own. It didn't emanate from us. For they love to pray, and again, that's that word, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say, they have their reward. Yeah, they have the applause of the audience, I guess. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. That doesn't mean that every time we want to pray, we need to go in a closet. That the only time we pray is when we're alone. That doesn't mean that. But the intent is you, and it's a thing between you and the Father. So when I'm praying, it's me and the Father. Now, you may be a part of that, but that's you and the Father. Do you understand? That's why it's saying in secret. It's not that you're closing yourself off from anybody else. But the point is, this is my time with the Father. This is your time with the Father. And although perhaps I am praying out loud and you're sitting there, your heart is involved as a child with his own Father, as my heart is involved with as a child with my Father. So I wanted you to see that. Verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Vain repetitions are just empty words that you're just repeating. In other words, you know, you're saying all the right things, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth, but it's not from the depth of your heart. Therefore, it's kind of an empty words. You know, you're not a hypocrite. You're not a player on a stage. Oh, it's time to pray. Oh, I've got a good one. I'll go ahead and do that. Or I've heard somebody pray this one time, and I think I'll repeat that and that kind of. It doesn't mean that you can't pray for the same thing over and over again. That's not the repetition it's talking about. The repetition is the repetition of vain, empty words. They don't really mean anything. Your heart's not really involved. Your thought life's not really involved. Your intention is not really there. There's no thought. And the word in the Greek actually comes from, I think it was a king that would go into these long speeches and long things, but he was a stutterer. And generally people stutter when they don't know what to say. So you kind of, you see this on maybe perhaps on debates and things like that. Somebody says something or they ask a question and they need some time to think through, well, how do I reply to this? What was I supposed to say? And they sort of start, so on. That's what that guy used to do. And that's why it's talking about these long prayers. So it's not the length, but the object or the subject of the request. It's where you sort of, for you, as you pray, you close off the world and focus until your heart is sure it will come to pass. That's the type of prayer. That's what this prosukomai is, and we'll get into it a little deeper. But kind of like Mark 1:35, and in the morning, arising up a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place and there prayed. He really wanted to get clear and focused, didn't want to be disturbed, didn't want his mind being distracted from other things around him. He wanted to just sort of close off until he was absolutely sure his heart was set on the request that he was going to make, that he would walk away knowing that would be answered. Now, he could repeat that same prayer again, and over again, and repeat it, that's fine. But that's really what it's after. It says, be ye therefore, verse 8, like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it goes on, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is showing them how to pray. This, when people repeat this prayer, that's what it's talking about. Not it's the heart behind the prayer. That's what you have to get to, the heart behind the prayer and what you're asking, so that you walk away with it absolutely set in your mind and in your heart that what you have requested is coming to pass. Now, it may not come to pass immediately, but I know it's coming to pass. I've done what I needed to do. The word prosukomai comes from two words, the word pros and the word eukomai. Pros means in a direction of, in other words, toward or with a view toward. That's what you want. And then the word eukomai is generally translated wish, but I want you to understand this, because it's much deeper than blowing out the candles on your birthday cake and closing your eyes and wishing for something. It's deeper than seeing a shooting star in the sky and making your wish upon a star, or getting the bigger part of a chicken bone so that your wish is going to come true. Again, it's where we are closing off the world and focusing in on the need until your heart is absolutely set that what you prayed for will come to pass. Now, this word eukomai, which is translated primarily wish, or euki, which is the noun form of it, eukomai is the verb form. The Greeks, in the early days, when they utilized this word in their writings, it was more in the sense of a vow than just a prayer. It was a vow. Now, the word euke, which is the noun, is translated a vow, and I want to show you a couple of places where it's translated that way so you can get the flavor of it when we start talking about prosukamai and the prayer and understand how the flavor of a vow is mixed in there. Look at Acts 18. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. And I think when we get through here, you'll really love the whole thought, the whole concept, the whole development of what it is to pray. It's more than just part of a service. It's a great deal more. In Acts chapter 18, and then verse 18, it says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had what?
A vow.
He had a vow. It means he was absolutely determined to do something. He had set himself apart for a specific thing, and he was absolutely determined to do it. This was part of his travel, and part of it was to get over to Jerusalem, but there's some other things there. Look at Acts chapter 21. And in verse 23, when Paul got to Jerusalem and he spoke with the apostles and so forth, they said to him in verse 23, "Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have what?
A vow
on them." They have set themselves apart and sort of sanctified themselves. They've set themselves apart for a purpose before God. That's the point of it. Where you set yourself apart, and not only that, but you have set yourself apart, but you've sort of put yourself on call for a situation. I remember that back when I was in training for the ministry, my job during the daytime was to work on the farms. And I'd be out there and I'd be plowing the field, and I'd be praying and doing different things. And, you know, a lot of times a name would come to me and I'd just pray for that name, whatever that situation was. I would make intercession for it. And I remember one time I was out there and this name, which I had never heard before, came up, and I thought, well, I'll just pray for him. And I prayed, and I thanked God for the situation, thank God for his intervention in the situation, God's blessing on that person, and so forth. And when I came back in for lunch, as I was going downstairs, somebody coming up the stairs stopped and said, "Do you know so-and-so?" And it was exactly the name I had just finished praying for out there in the field. And I said, "No." But they said, "Oh, they were having a terrible time. I just got off the phone with them, and they were having a terrible time. But, you know, God really brought some great deliverance to them." And I thought, there it is. See, I set that time apart where I would just pray, because, you know, basically you're sitting on a tractor. You're going one speed through the field, you know, and it was pretty boring. So I thought, well, it doesn't take a lot of focus to drive this tractor. So I'm going to set myself apart and I'll use this time for praying. Some people do that in the shower. Some people do that in other things. Some people have several different things they do during a day where it doesn't require a lot of their focus. So then they just pray during that period of time. They go through prayer lists and so forth. That's what it means. You set yourself apart and you sort of put yourself on call. I'm here for an emergency, like the fire department. They're there at the firehouse. They're there 24 hours a day, but they're not constantly putting out a fire. But if the call comes, they're ready to go. They come down the pole, they get into their turnout gear and so forth, jump on the truck, and they're headed out there because they're on call if they are needed. They're ready to go. They're ready to go at a moment's notice. That's the point. Now, I want to show this to you because it's important in understanding this prayer. And then as I take it in, and we're going to look at 3 John 2 is where I want to ultimately get to, but I want to share some other things with you. But it's something where you're just ready to go at a moment's notice. If you go to Numbers chapter 6, and it talks about the Nazirite vow, and I wanted to show this to you, not for the specifics, but for your understanding of what's behind our prayer in terms of a vow. And in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either a man or a woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazirite, to what? Separate themselves unto the Lord." Then it goes into how they're going to separate themselves. "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar," and so on and so forth. The point that he's really after is, you know, you're not going to get yourself where your faculties are sacrificed, or your faculties could become dull in a situation. If you're going to take the Nazirite vow, you can't put yourself in a place where your faculties may not be there, because you're going to be called on at a moment's notice. You know, you've got to be like the guy in the fire department. When he's on duty, he's on duty. You know, they may be able to take a nap and stuff like that, but they generally work shifts like 3 days straight, and then they have off 3 days or 2 days, and then they're back on for 4 days and that kind of thing. Now, they have cots and things where they can go take a nap, that kind of thing. It's because they could be called on at a moment's notice, and they have to be ready right then. The second that call comes, they got to be ready. This is the idea behind that vow part of prosukamai, that vow part of prayer, that we would not allow our faculties, our focus to become dulled to where you could not focus in when the demand for that prayer comes. That you're ready there, fully engaged in that prayer, so that you can focus your heart, that it believes what you have just prayed for is going to come to pass. If nobody sees it, I am absolutely certain when I finish praying, it is a done deal. That's this prosukamai. That's what prayer is supposed to involve. Isn't that beautiful? Just lovely. And look at verse, let's go to verse 18. It says, "And the Nazirite shall shave the head of his separation," so you know who he is. He's the only one around with the crew cut, so to speak. It's a little harder in our culture, but in their culture, you know, they allowed their hair to grow. But he's the only guy that had his head shaved. So you know, you knew exactly who you needed to go to. If you needed prayer for a situation, you needed God's intervention in a situation, you could pick, there's a Nazirite, I'm going to him, because when he prays, things get done. He has committed his heart, he has committed his life, and he has committed himself to keep his faculties so focused so that at a drop of a hat, if I went to him, I know he could pray for me and I'm going to have whatever it is that I've asked according to the will of God. He definitely believes that. He is someone I know I can absolutely count on. Every believer should be that way, in the sense that, you know, we have that kind of trust in God. We have that kind of believing that prayer works. I know people talk about, oh, prayer works, but they do kind of throw it up like a wish. You know, I hope it comes to pass. I hope it works out. But you have to be absolutely confident it will come to pass, whether that person that you're praying for ever sees it or not. I am absolutely convinced God will do whatever it is I have requested. Like before we started the fellowship today, we prayed for a couple of people. I am absolutely convinced that the healing power of God is right there. All they have to do is reach out and grab it. You know, we've done everything to, Connie was talking about how we intersect with people in our community, and there's some people we're looking to intersect with so that we can get involved directly with their lives. When I pray, I've brought them to the intersection. As far as I'm concerned, they're there. And that's what this prayer is to be. I say me, you know, I'm talking generally of any believer. What did I say? Verse 18. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of what? A peace offering. Isn't that beautiful? You know, peace, remember we taught peace is forgiveness enjoyed. And he's going to put it under the fire of the peace offering. And the offerings were set, the fire was initiated by God. Remember when Solomon built the temple, the fire God initiated. And then from there, it showed whenever they would do a sacrifice and that sacrifice got burned up, it meant that's been accepted by God. That great, this is perfect. Well, it's a peace offering, forgiveness enjoyed. Let's go to James chapter 5. I want to show this to you as we go a little further on this. Prosukamai, with a view toward this vow, this wish, this determination. This prayer. James chapter 5. Oops. All right. Cards are a little stuck together. And we'll start in verse 14. James 5, verse 14. This is a verse in relation to an elder. An elder is a mature, experienced, dedicated believer. Now, I said every believer has that connection with God. Every believer has direct access to God. But the longer we are experienced with the Word, the greater our confidence in God and in the things of God becomes more, we become more adept in that. That's why in verse 14, this prayer, anybody can pray, anybody can bring things to pass by their prayer, but now, here are the elders, and I want to show this to you. In verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. That's the word presbyteros. We get our Presbyterian church because of the elders. That's what they call it. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So you have an elder, an experienced believer, older in age perhaps, but for sure longer experienced with the Word and the things of God and the things of the ministry. And if any is sick, let him call or ask one that's recognized or called an elder in the church. Call unto him because he's doing what? Seeking healing for his sickness, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he wants to do. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall what?
Save
the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Beautiful. What a wonderful thing. See, he's to seek out an elder. He's to seek out one. Could he go to any believer? Sure. But this is something that's beautifully set, and God shows the believing ones. Here's something. Here's an elder. Go to an elder. Let him pray. Let him prosukamai with a view toward your deliverance, with a view toward your healing. There's different other points that are involved in prayer. There is asking. And that is in terms of making a request in regard to resources. Those of you that have ever worked for a company, do you ever send in a requisition for something? You have a need coming up. You need certain supplies and things like that. So you put in a requisition, and then the supplies come to you. You don't necessarily have to have everything sitting on your desk. It would become uncomfortable trying to work through everything. So there's certain things that you request as you need them, as the need arises. That's this word ask, to sort of requisition. It's also in that term prosukamai is beseech, or to lovingly implore. And that's in regard to something that's urgent, for the urgency of it. For instance, someone's sick and they need to be well, and we're concerned about their health. We're concerned about their life. So there's a certain beseeching because there's an urgency to it. Petition is also included in this whole word. That you have a vow, you have ask, you have a beseeching, and you also have a petition. Now, when we want to get, like for instance in government, we want to get something changed. So we send around a petition. This is what we would like to have done. How many people sign that petition? Well, you're not going to get anything very effectively done if only one person signs for it, right? You want a petition, so only one guy. When we think of petition, it's not like we have to keep repeating the prayer to finally get God's attention and saying, okay, he's prayed for that 50 times already. I need to give it to him, get him off my back. That's not it. It's in the sense of a petition where we have a group of people that are praying for the same thing. There are numbers of believers that have that urgency in their heart, that have that sense of a vow, that they're right there, that they are concerned about this situation, and they are going to focus their heart until they walk away absolutely believing, convinced what they had prayed for, it's a done deal. petitions more in a group request, and also within this word prosukamai is the idea of invoking, where you call upon a greater or a more highly regarded one, but you have to have legal authority to do it. So all of these things are involved in this word prosukamai. There is, in the sense of a vow, that you're at the ready, at the drop of a hat, you're ready to go. You keep your faculties where they are always in focus, that they're not dulled, because you could be called on at any time. You're asking, you're making requisitions, you are beseeching, you're imploring because of an urgency, for instance. And you're also petitioning, because you can get a group together and pray for this thing, and everyone focuses their heart in on it. And you're invoking, you're calling upon God because he's highly regarded and you have the legal authority to do so. It's not because the sick one does not have any sway with God, but these elders are helpers of his believing. It says the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. The manifestation of believing inspires believing in others. It helps that individual. He has seen these elders. He has seen them pray for things and seen it come to pass. He has watched these elders function in their lives. At the drop of a hat, they're right there ready, fully spiritually operating, energized and involved. He has seen them, and that helps him or her believe that his need is going to be met. That's why the elders are there. He sees these elders as helpers of his believing. Why? Verse 15, and the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of believing, the prayer of faith, or the manifestation of believing, I'm not really sure. But the word prayer here is euche, which is the noun form of the word that's translated vow. They've committed their life to be on duty, to be on call, to keep their heart and their head from condemnation of sin. That's one of the things that they do. You know, they're not always sitting around in condemnation because they were out goofing off over here or because they were doing such and such that they shouldn't have been involved in. These men are elders. They've proven themselves time and time again to be there, to be spiritual people who are right at your beck and or at God's beck and call to handle situations, that have no question that God will heed their prayer and for the sick or the ill one knows that. The prayer from one who has vowed to be sharp, to be prepared on all points so as not to be caught by the enemy is a good way to look at it. They shall save or make whole the sick. Which is pretty neat because it's not the oil. There's no healing power in oil. The oil just helps that individual to know he's been separated. He is the one that they are praying for. He is the one that their request is being made for. He is the one that they have come together for that urgency. He is the one that they have grouped together to petition. He is the one that they are invoking the power of God for. That's the beauty of it. These presbyteros, that elder, and again, the manifestation of believing that they have inspires believing in others. Because the elder has set his heart and his mind to believe, he shall have whatsoever he set. That's the elder. He's absolutely convinced. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And as far as he's concerned, it's as good as done. I remember when I was in training, we had a prayer room. And we would talk with one another before we would go into the prayer room to look at the list of prayers of things that people had requested, throughout the day and throughout the week and so forth, and we would spend time in that prayer room and we would talk it over and say, look, we're going in there, and as far as I'm concerned, when I walk out that door, that prayer's been answered. That it is done. It is finished. You know, all of heaven and earth now is moving to meet the need of that particular individual. And I endeavor to develop my heart and our class endeavor to develop our hearts in that regard, that as soon as we finished praying, we were absolutely convinced. I mean, God said that whatsoever we ask, it shall be done. We're asking according to the will of God. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, once I have read that thing, once I have prayed, it is as good as done. You might as well just take this piece of paper and burn it because it's finished. That's all these things behind this wonderful word. It says, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. The words effectual fervent are the Greek word energeo. It's an energized prayer. There is something going on spiritually. There is spiritual power that is energized. And the effectual fervent prayer, this energized prayer, this commitment, this vow, this asking, the request, beseeching because of the urgency and so forth, it is put into action, and the energized fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word avail is the word to prevail. It prevails. It prevails. That's what should happen when we pray. That is the whole idea behind our prayer. It will prevail. I don't care what the world looks like. You know, like when we are praying for leaders of these countries, kings and all that are in authority, when we are praying in about these countries where they are absolutely closed off, the people have no communication with people outside of their country, I don't care what it looks like. I know my prayer is going to prevail. It is as good as done. That's the attitude, heart, and spiritually, I believe that is what happens. Isn't prayer wonderful? Oh, man, it is so exciting. Good gosh. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's a long time for somebody to hold out on a prayer, to believe that what they prayed for is going to come to pass, and does come to pass for that period of time. Isn't that something? And the word earnestly means purposefully, with a serious intention, to get resolve, with effort. Isn't that beautiful? Well, he exerted himself spiritually because he had to believe that for that period of time, till God told him to pray again and make it rain and allow it to rain, he held off the rain. Boy, oh boy. Now, do you think his faculties had to be sharp every day, that he had to be prepared on all points so as not to be caught by the enemy, not to get in condemnation because he did this or he handled this situation wrong or that situation didn't go the way he thought it should go, and then he starts getting depressed and condemnation and all the other stuff that the adversary tries to lay on top of you? Yeah. It takes a little while walking in the Word to develop yourself to stand against those things, but boy, he did it for 3 years and 6 months on just one thing he prayed for, and to keep it until God told him, okay, all right, you know, Elijah, ease off. Let it go. Beautiful. Now, understanding that there is the sense of a vow that you're going to be ready at any time, on duty, on call, any point, with your full faculties, that you are going to ask, you're going to requisition, you're going to beseech because there may be an urgency in the situation, you're going to petition. You may petition with a group of people, or you are going to invoke God's power for this situation because your own personal power is not enough to handle it. Your own thoughts even sometimes are not enough to handle it. You know, sometimes you go into a situation, say, okay, so-and-so is arguing with so-and-so, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to listen to him, and then we'll get this thing peaceful. And you don't have the words. You don't know what in the world to tell him. The power of God gets energized there. With this concept in our minds concerning prayer, I want to look at 3 John 2, because this verse on health and prosperity is for all believers. So if you'll go with me to 3 John, and it's a wonderful verse. But before we get into it, I want to set the stage for how this is utilized in this particular epistle. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, the elder. So John is considered a elder. And he's one who's been walking on the word for a while. He's been an example of someone who's prepared on all points so as not to be caught by the enemy. He is one that they've seen pray for things and it has come to pass. He is one that is absolutely faithful. He doesn't get shook up. He doesn't get moved and so forth. Unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beautiful. Then he says to Gaius, beloved, I wish, and there's that word, euke. I wish above all things that thou mayest what? And be in, even as thy soul prospers. You know why? Because he was willing to put it on the line for Gaius. He had absolute commitment for Gaius's prosperity. He had an absolute commitment for Gaius's health, because Gaius would not be able to carry out the things he needed to carry out if he didn't have prosperity. He wouldn't be able to carry out those things if he didn't have health. Even as thy soul prospers, and that is the most important part. For your soul, your heart, your innermost part of your being, you know, the seat of your personal life, if that is not prospering, what good is financial prosperity? If that is not prospering, what good is health? I know people say without good health, you don't have anything. But without good mental health, you can have good physical health, but your life is not going to... I've seen people more tortured by their own thoughts and their own heart than they are from a physical malady. That's the point I want to get. They are, all of them are important. I don't want to discount any of them and say, you could live without prosperity and you could live without health. You just have to have a good mindset. You know, your heart has to be healthy. That's not it. He was committed that he'd have all three, equal to his wonderful heart, his wonderful life. My vowful prayer, Gaius, I am on guard for you. I am ready at the drop of a hat concerning your prosperity and your health, even as you are concerned and have spent time developing the seed of your life around God and his wonderful word. That's what he's telling him. Did I say wish is UK? It's actually eukomai. It's the verb. It's action. And then wish above all things is concerning all things. Of all the things in life that we can be concerned about, my main thing is that your prosperity and your health are equal to the word that you've sown in your heart. You've taken all this time. You've spent all this time. And I've seen believers, year after year, they love God. They're constantly in prayer, constantly talking about the word, constantly talking about Jesus Christ, telling other people about Jesus Christ and all that. I want them to have the financial prosperity, and I want them to have the health prosperity, their health to prosper, as much as they are so willing to go everywhere and speak about Jesus Christ and declare the gospel, and that their hearts, the seat of their personal life, revolves around God and his word. Sure, they have secular jobs and, they have to keep after their children and keep up with where they live and all these different things. But the seat of their personal life is just centered around God. I want them to prosper, and I want them to have as good health as they do to maintain that seat of their personal life around God and his wonderful word. That's beautiful. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth, that is what? Even as thou walkest in truth. So was Gaius prospering personally at the seat of his personal life? Absolutely. He said, boy, I would love for you to be blessed prosperity-wise and health-wise, equal to the way that you are so wonderful when it comes to God and His Word. He's just the center of your life. You are beautiful. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers. You are so cool. I mean, it doesn't matter whether the guy's part of the fellowship, not part of the fellowship. Or, you treat everybody so wonderfully. And it's proof of the center of your personal life is so filled with the truth of God's word. You are just a wonderful witness. In verse 6, and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity, love, your love. Before the church, you know, if I wanted to make a poster of love, I'd just paint your face on it. You know, if I wanted people to see, you know what God's love looks like? Here's a picture of Gaius. He is the manifestation of God's love. This is what love looks like. I can't describe it, but I could show you a picture of it. This is what it looks like. That's what John is saying concerning Gaius, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. In other words, pay for them to, you know, I need to see them, and they need to get here, and they need finances to get here. So part of what you're going to be doing, you're going to need to have prosperity. You're going to need to have financial prosperity, because how would you be able to bring them forward to us? How would you be able to send them? How would you be able to help them out with their plane ticket? Or how would you be able to help them out with these things if you're flat broke? No, I want you to prosper, because you're someone too that that we can entrust great things to. So bring these guys forward. You've got the heart, you've got the love and the kindness, and you're going to do well. So he goes on to all these things. But you see where this, the health and the prosperity, how it fits in 3 John. The word prosper, it literally means to have a good way, to have a prosperous journey. Well, his journey is through life. I want you to have a great journey through life. That's what I want for you. And the word health is hugiano, which means to be whole. And there's a couple of verses you ought to take the time to look up, like Luke 5:31 and 7:10. It's also translated sound in the sense of sound doctrine. Is there any holes in the doctrine? No. It's also translated. That word hugiano is also in relationship to wholesome words. In other words, there's no point. An attack can be made against the words, but there's no point. They're going to succeed against them. It is so sound. It is so solid. That's what he's talking about. I want your physical health to be so sound and so solid that no attack of the adversary is going to penetrate. Just like you so protect the seat of your personal life with the word, and to bring your heart to the word and bring your mind to the word so that no attack of the adversary is going to get to your heart. I want that for your physical body, and I want that for your financial prosperity. That's what he's telling him. Was his soul prospering in a good way? I think so. It talks about the things that he did and the way he lived his life. And was he doing well physically? I assume he probably was. But John was saying, I'm going to stand on guard for you. I am going to be there at the drop of a hat. Should you need anything, I am there for you. And that's what we get from this word prosukamai when we start to put the things together. So Gaius, from all I can see, Gaius himself was an elder, or should be an elder, or someone you could absolutely rely on. If you had a need, he is someone who prosukamite, who would pray for you with the focus of mind and keeping himself in the place that at the drop of a hat, if you had a need, his prayer, it's a done deal. And he teach other people how to pray the same way, how to be the same way, how to get their seat of their personal lives to the place where they can absolutely be relied on. So that's what I wanted to share with you, and we'll get into a few other things, but I thought it'd be a great day to share on Prosukhamai. So bless your hearts.